What am I in the age to come? This bit's just we'll just chat around a bit of a incident in Yeshua's life, but it was going to be sort of the tail end of what I was going to share today. But I'll leave that till next week, and I'll just share this tail end. And it was singing about the Good Shepherd, and one of the emphases of today was going to be about the Shepherd, the Good Shepherd. I have to wait till next week. John chapter 5, verses 16 to 30. Because Yeshua was doing these things on Shabbat, the Judean leaders started persecuting him. Terrible when you keep Shabbat and you don't do Shabbat the way some people like it, they'll persecute you. Kind of sounds like the mark of the beast, doesn't it? But Yeshua said to them, "My Father is still working, and I also am working." So for this reason, the Judean leaders kept trying even harder to kill him, because he was not only breaking Shabbat, but also calling Elohim his own father, making himself equal with Elohim. Who knew that all sons were equal to their fathers? There you are, it's in the scriptures. Therefore Yeshua answered them, "Amen, amen, I tell you, the Son cannot do anything by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he does. He will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whomever he wants." So here's Yeshua. He's describing some of these more amazing things that the Father's going to do. And he's going to raise the dead. He's going to give them life. And I also give life to whomever the Father wants. The Father does not judge anyone, but has handed over all judgment to the Son. So, I mean, he's saying to them very, very directly that he is the Son of the Father. And now he is here saying to them, straight following that the Father has handed all judgment into my hand, and I am your judge. They didn't like that any more than they liked anything else he said. So that the Father does not judge anyone, but has handed over all judgment to the Son, so that all should honour the Son, just as they honour the Father. So he's being very, very plain here in saying, you are trying to kill me and persecute me, and you should be honouring me. I am the Son. You should be giving me honour in the same way that you give the Father honour. It's exactly what he's saying to them. Whoever does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. So you don't honour me, therefore you don't honour God. You think you do, you don't. If you're not honouring me, you're not honouring him. Because I am his Son and I come from him. Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and trusts the one who sent me has eternal life. So now he's saying, I can give you eternal life. In me you will find eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed over from death into life. Truly, truly, I tell you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Elohim. Those who hear will live, for just as the Father has life in himself, so also he granted the Son to have life in himself. Also he has given the Son authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will come to a resurrection of life. Those who have done evil will come to a resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own. Just as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, for I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. There's a lot of stuff in there for them to come to terms with as he stands there and parades himself. That's how they're thinking. Parades himself as someone that's come from heaven, the Son of God. And he's saying all this stuff about himself, and dead's going to be raised, he's going to judge, who's going to be resurrected to eternal life, who's going to be resurrected to judgment, and that's all in my power. The Father's given me authority to do all of this, and I do exactly what he tells me to do. That's a strange thing to go around telling people, but that's the only way people are going to know the truth, is to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. But here we find that Yeshua reassures us that the resurrection is our sure and certain hope. There is no doubt, there is no question, a resurrection is coming. And so one lot are being resurrected to life eternal, and the other lot are being resurrected to judgment. But Yeshua, in his travels, he had to contend with the Sadducees, who never believed in a resurrection. Well, why didn't they believe in a resurrection? Because they were sad, you see. That's why they were so sad, you see. There's no resurrection. They raised what they thought was an unanswerable question, and that they thought they could trap Yeshua with their question. So we'll read Luke 20 from verse 27. Then the Sadducees, who deny there is a resurrection, they came and questioned Yeshua. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, then his brother should take the widow and father children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife, and she died childless. And the second and the third took her, but in the same way each of the seven brothers died and left no children. That's a pretty tragic family. Finally, the woman died too. So in the resurrection, whose wife is she? For all seven had married her. Yeshua said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those considered worthy to reach the Olam Haba, that is the world to come, and the resurrection of the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they can no longer die, because they are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But at the burning bush, even Moses revealed that the dead are raised, when he calls Jehovah the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob. Now he is Elohim not of the dead, but of the living, for to him they are all living. Some of the Torah scholars replied, Teacher, you have said it well, for they no longer dared to question him about anything. Okay, and in Matthew's account and in Mark's account of this story, they had this verse. Yeshua said to them, Isn't this the reason you have gone astray? Because you don't understand the scriptures or the power of Elohim. They come to him with the question of the resurrection of the dead, and this is what Moses said. Yeshua, knowing they don't believe in any resurrection, and he says to them, well, this is the reason you've gone astray, because you don't understand the scriptures or the power of Elohim. and I think in some of the things he says, I'm not sure that I understand the scriptures either, to come up with suitable answers to some of the things that he says. So the question that the Sadducees asked Yeshua was, a woman had seven husbands, one after the other, as each one died. Therefore, at the resurrection, who has her as the wife in the resurrection? And Yeshua said, at the resurrection, we are like the angels in heaven, eternal. We no longer die. And they do not marry, or are they given in marriage? So that's a pondering question, a question to ponder, isn't it? What did he mean by that? What was he saying? I ask the question, are angels genderless? Probably seems a question that has no relevance to the story, but are angels genderless? We will be like the angels. We will be eternal. We will not marry or be given in marriage. What's he saying in that? Kind of makes, wow, gee, I'm not sure that I want to be part of this kingdom. It's kind of not panning out how I think about it. Well, I don't think angels are genderless. I don't think so. They are called sons of God, sons of Elohim. So he gives them gender in that sense. And in all the instances that I read about angels in the scripture, they're all male. So they're also like Yeshua in that they represent Elohim and they are his messengers. And they reveal the Father's will to the people that he sends them. They bring messages from heaven to earth, approach people, tell them what Father wants them to know, to understand, points them in a certain direction, gives them understanding about certain things, and they go back to heaven. And in what's the point? Maybe you're right, Neil. Script and verse, that's all I need. Just, I'm not sure. So, Jehovah, or the scriptures give them gender male, male gender. That's what it gives them. What that means, well, I don't know what that means, but that's what they are. And they're always called a man approached them. We saw this man. This man spoke to us. And then he disappeared.
Fallen angels, and took their daughters.
Mm. Yep, they did. Yes. Yep. Well, they certainly never looked like females to the people they approached. Hmm. And in Revelation, we see that they are Yeshua's army. They rule in spiritual ways over regions of the earth. They're the shofar blowers, releasing plagues and judgments on the earth, these angels. They're worshippers of Elohim. As we read through Revelation, they serve his will. So they serve a lot of functions and they're there to do whatever the Father needs them and wants them to do.
So when they say we are like angels, maybe that's what we'll be doing, messengers and reveal the Father's will.
I'm sure we'll be doing lots of things they do. In the kingdom, we are all resurrected as the bride of Yeshua collectively. That's scriptural, isn't it? We are the bride of Yeshua. So are we therefore the female side in this marriage to our bridegroom, our head, Yeshua. Well, I suppose in some spiritual sense, we are. True. Yes. In this, what he said to the Sadducees in response to their question, is Yeshua giving us a literal description or definition of angels and resurrected humans, or a spiritual one? Is there a crossover between the literal and the spiritual, and in the things that he was saying? And I believe, as I assume you do, that we will be resurrected as we are, males and females. We won't become something genderless, but we will be resurrected from the graves, and we will be understood and recognized for who we were and who we are at that point in time. I don't see anything different than that in Scripture. But we'll be resurrected with the role, as Christina said, of serving the purposes of Jehovah in obedience and subjection to our head, our husband, as one body as he directs. So, exactly the same as the angels do. And the angels aren't called the bride. Angels aren't the bride. We're the bride. So there's some literal comparisons with angels. We don't die like they don't die. We don't marry like they don't marry. I'm sure Yeshua meant that when he said that. And I think there are some spiritual distinctions or spiritual differences in that equation as well. And a distinction Yeshua gives between the angels and us is like the difference between this age and the age to come. The one we live in now and the one we're going to live in time to come. We belong to this age, the temporal, and this will come to an end for the resurrected. And the eternal, which we are going to enter into, and in which the angels now live. So we live in this temporal world, waiting for our resurrection. The angels live in the eternal, in the heavens. And so the eternal and the temporal coexist together in the spiritual sense of our relationship to Jehovah, our relationship to his messengers, and everything that happens in heaven is telling us something about what Jehovah wants of his people and expects to happen in the world, that the kingdom of heaven is going to come to earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. So he wants the eternal to take over the temporal, which hasn't happened yet and won't happen for a long time. We have heaven, where Elohim and the angels are all living in the eternal. And we have the earth, where us, humanity, are living in the temporal. In the age to come, the millennial kingdom, the kingdom age, the same conditions will apply for us as it does for the angels. We, the resurrected, will become like the angels. And we will be transformed and we will transition into the eternal. So these temporal beings will become eternal, just like the angels. The people who have rejected Yeshua or who refuse to live according to his will or his commandments are not part of the resurrection and will continue to live in the temporal world, in a temporal body, waiting the judgment to come at their resurrection. And so the eternal and the temporal still coexist when the kingdom arrives on earth. But we will have transitioned from the temporal to the eternal, and multitudes will still be part of the temporal during the kingdom age.
So why Yehusha used to use the parable, like when one is out in the field, the other one might be taken because the first resurrection has happened?
Mm-hmm. I think he's making a relationship to that. That to flee and to, because the judgment's coming or the time of tribulation is coming, the armies are surrounding Jerusalem, flee, which means, of course, the resurrection's right at hand for some. But Matthew 22, we'll finish with this, 1 to 14. Yeshua answered and spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who made a wedding feast for his son. He sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they wouldn't come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who were invited, look, I've prepared my meal, my oxen, fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But paying no attention, they went away, one to his own farm, another to his business. The rest grabbed his servants, humiliated them, and killed them. Now the king became furious. Sending his troops, he destroyed those murderers and set fire to their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. So go into the highways and the byways and invite everyone you find to the wedding feast.' And those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look over the guests, he saw a man there who wasn't dressed in wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he said to him, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' But the man was silent. Then the king said to his servants, 'Tie him up hand and foot, throw him into the outer darkness, into that place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Lots of questions in there that I don't have answers for. In the age to come upon the earth, the resurrected, Yeshua said, will not be marrying and being given in marriage in the literal sense. But in the spiritual sense, we will be married to Yeshua. And we just read of the wedding feast that the king has put on for his son and invited people. And this happened three times in that process. And he dealt with them in a certain process. He was rejected. His servants were beaten and killed. And then he sends out another lot again and starts gathering in people, good and bad, who are making decisions and judgments for who Yeshua is. And we will have been part of that wedding ceremony and banquet to our bridegroom Yeshua. We will be joined to him in the same sense as angels are joined to Elohim. I can't see it any other way at this point in time. And so when the resurrection comes, when Yeshua arrives and the joining together comes, we will be like the angels. Our relationship with Yeshua will be exactly the same as the relationship that the angels have with Jehovah. And we will be demonstrating to a fallen world for 1,000 years, which may seem like a day, it'll be so perfect and fantastic, But for 1,000 years, we'll be demonstrating what true marriage, true family, true social and spiritual life is really like under Jehovah, and how it was always meant to work. The temporal world is going to look at the eternal beings in relationship with Yeshua as how relationships are meant to work, and how marriage is meant to be a portrayal of our relationship with Yeshua. And for 1,000 years, the resurrected, Yeshua says, won't be marrying, won't be given in marriage, but they'll belong to me. And we will demonstrate to the earth what true, proper relationships are like, what it's like to serve Jehovah, to love one another, to love Elohim, and to have relationships and friendships in social, spiritual settings that are perfect, joyful, shalom, blessed, happy, enjoying a world that's being restored under his hand and ours, ruling and reigning. Animals will change, environment will change, climate will change. Things will become totally and absolutely different over this period of time. So I see it that we are today in training in lots of ways to be leaders, to be messengers, to be family, to be raising children in this age as a preparation for the Olam Haba, the age to come. Serving Jehovah just like the angels are now. And we won't get it perfectly right because we're in this temporal world. We're in this human body that falls far short of the eternal, and our understanding and our natures haven't been transformed to be perfect like his. But at the same time, we have the Ruach. At the same time, we have the Word. At the same time, we have the love of the Father and the provision of Yeshua to guide us through the morass called life that is so screwed up, that has no clue about anything spiritual, kingdom, eternal, or heavenly. They believe in none of it. And the mixed marriages, the mixed family situations and circumstances, the way business is done, the way governments are run, the way decisions are made, the way judges rule, the way lawyers and everyone functions in a way and a level where it's difficult very often to see where there is such a thing called justice and caring about those who don't have the wherewithal or the means or the way to defend themselves, and they're ridden roughshod over. Businesses are destroyed because big businesses know how to shut them down. This world has no idea how to raise a family, how to raise children to understand who the Almighty Creator is, who know nothing about the temporal giving way to the eternal, angelic hosts blowing shofars and pouring out judgments and seeing cataclysmic events happening in the earth. And we understand all of that because we have the Word, because we have the Ruach, and we are in training to show Jehovah that we are doing our best to be what the word describes for us to be as families, as kahals, as congregations and communities, and as people in this world, in our businesses, in our work, in our relationships. And that is all going to culminate in the resurrection, and we will become like the angels themselves, with authority and power and the eternalness of serving the will and the purposes of Jehovah for 1,000 years, sorting out this world, sorting out governments, businesses, neighborhoods, people, based on the Word of God, based on what the Scriptures say. And this truth will go forth from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, and we will be like the angels, serving His purposes, serving His will, not worrying about marriage, being given in marriage, raising children, having families, having a job, doing business. All of that will be suspended. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know. My thinking, my mindset is, at the end of the 1,000 years, that will all change. But while the eternal interacts with the temporal, while they coexist together, like they do now with the heavenly and the earthly, it's going to coexist in the same realm here on earth. The eternal will be interacting with the temporal, and the eternal, the resurrected ones and the angelic hosts of Jehovah will be doing a work in this world that is of 1,000 years duration, and then will come the resurrection, the second resurrection, and will come about the beginning of the establishment of the fullness of a new heavens and a new earth, wherein only dwells righteousness and truth. And there is no more dying, there is no more sickness, there is no memory of all that has gone in the past. Everything will be new, transformed. And what all that means, I don't know what all that means, but I'm sure there's clues in here. But it's just an interesting question. What does it mean to say we will be like the angels? There will be no marrying and giving in marriage. There will be no decision to be made whether that woman will have the pick of which husband she wants, or those men will say, yes, she's my wife and you can't have her. He says that you don't understand the Scriptures. That's why you talk like that. And we must say we still look through a glass very darkly, and we are still waiting for answers and understanding. But things certainly aren't going to be like what Christianity thinks they're going to be, where all families are waiting to be reunited and all we're going to have is just fantastic, wonderful love-ins. And my mother's in heaven, my father's in heaven, my brother's in heaven, my wife's in heaven, they're all waiting for me. And when I die, I'm going to be joined with them in heaven. We'll be all together again. Well, that kind of doesn't sound anything like what Yeshua said here. So there has to be some difference of what the kingdom age is about. It's a period of time that has a purpose. And that purpose is not about eternity. That purpose is about heaven coming down to earth and interacting with the temporal world, coexisting together so that the eternal can have the full sway over people's lives, what they do and how they do it, what they believe and what they're not allowed to believe any longer. And they will be subjected, as we are told, they will be ruled with a rod of iron. It will be a time when people will not live any way they want. They will not conduct business and have their marriages any way they want. They will be ruled with the authority and the power of angels. And we will know as we are known. We will have knowledge, understanding, power, authority, miraculous supernatural abilities will be ours as a natural part of our being. it's kind of going to make it very difficult for someone to say no. We're going to be nothing like we are now in the sense of power, ability, authority, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, answers to all questions and solutions, giving direction, allowing and disallowing. All of that will be our vocation, just as it is the angels. And it will be much easier in that day because we'll have changed minds, hearts and attitudes and understandings, and I mean all our weaknesses and everything will be done away with. This mortal shall put on immortality, and yep. But ruling and reigning will be totally different to what it is here and now. And we struggle with authority, we struggle with leadership, we struggle with taking authority over people and making decisions that can be unpopular, all that kind of stuff. That's not easy. That's difficult for us as people. But when it comes to the eternal resurrected beings, it's not going to be anything like that. It'll be a totally different ball game. You'll be like the angels. Come down to earth, deliver a message, tell them this is the story. Doesn't matter whether it's the women looking for Yeshua, what have you done with him, or whether they're going to Abraham and saying, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, better tell him what we're here for. What can you do? You can't change a thing. Father said, we're here to do this. This is what's going to happen. Get out of there or you'll just die with a lot. It's a totally different ball game. It's just, we will be people with absolute certainty, confidence, strength. This is what Jehovah, this is what Yeshua, this is what the King of Kings has said he wants done. We do it. And people have to bow the knee to it. Yeah, we won't have issues like we've got now. We won't try to think things through and be afraid to do it. We will just be who we are. Satan won't be there. He's out of the picture. The deceiver, the liar, the murderer is out of the picture. The beasts are out of the picture. Anti-messiahs, out of the picture. So it's going to change a whole lot of things where there isn't this spiritual world of deception and lies and hatred and anger and murder and this kind of stuff. It's not going to be there. People are going to be more open because they will see a better world that's been created. They will see greater harmony and blessing and everything that they've gone through. Call it climate change today, but it's climate change because Jehovah is making earthquakes happen. He is causing the sun and the moon to go dark. He is causing all kinds of calamity and destruction. They're going to see all that change. They're coming out of war, major wars. They're coming out from under the anti-messiah who says, you do what we say, or you have no job, you have no money, you have no this, and you bend the knee to us. They're coming out of all of that. Devil's gone. Those one world government men are gone. They're going to be much more compliant. Well, Father, once again, we do give you thanks for your word and your witness and your testimony. We give you thanks, Father, for what you're doing in the nation of Israel, the way you have protected them and overshadowed them, even though the multitude do not believe in you. But, Father, we know that day will come when that will change as a nation. So we thank you, Father, for the way that you have always treated them as your chosen, your special nation, to be a witness nation to your greatness. So we thank you for the stories that we hear and the things that you have done, and the plan that you have down through the next few decades. Father, we know that you will bring to pass everything that you have said in your word. Everything the prophets declared will come to pass. Everything the apostles have said will come to pass. And we give you thanks for that which reassures and strengthens our faith in you. We give you thanks in Yeshua's name. Amen.